Hey everyone, welcome to episode 75 of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. I hope this is the open that we go with because I have recorded this thing countless times. I am tongue-tied and cannot keep my thoughts together today, so if I ramble on, I apologize for that. But thanks for being here and sharing this week's episode. Going to have an interview with the Golden Boy, Greg Anthony, from NWA Mid-South, and they have shows every Saturday night in Dyersburg, Tennessee. Golden Boy talks more about that and his recent trip to the Cauliflower Alley Club, which is a trip that I would like to make sometime. It's out in Las Vegas, and it's usually right after WrestleMania, so and Golden Boy happened to be in Dallas for WrestleMania this past year as well. So stay tuned to listen to his insight. He's got a great mind for the professional wrestling business. He shares some opinions and thoughts as well on WWE, NXT, and all that good stuff. Probably you saw earlier this past week on the My 1-2-3 Cents YouTube channel my thoughts on the passing of China. I'm not going to go into a great detail here, but my video that I posted is more on the mourning process, and I know that some people took exception with the fact that she has had a history of drug abuse and substance abuse and alcohol and whatnot, and wondered or questioned if that is something to mourn. And so I basically share my thoughts over there. So if you have a minute, go over to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/my123cents, and take a listen to that. Also on that channel, later this week, Chad and I will share our predictions and our thoughts on the upcoming Payback pay-per-view, which is happening on Sunday, May 1st, so just in a few days here. And also over at my123cents.com, a piece on Prince. I know he doesn't really have anything to do with wrestling, but if you are a fan of the 80s or grew up in that era like I did, you may have been a Prince fan as well. So check that out. On to more wrestling news. It seems like TNA, the future is I don't know. I don't want to speculate, but there's all kinds of things out there online right now. At one point, there was talk of the Harris twins purchasing TNA, or at least investing in the company. There's all kinds of different things going on out there. Even by the time you're listening to this podcast, there may have been new developments in the TNA situation. So it's something that I hope the best for TNA, but honestly, I feel like they need some kind of managerial, or not even managerial, but ownership shakeup. Changes have to be made. The company is losing viewers. They're losing money, obviously. They're losing talent. I wouldn't be opposed to the idea of them when they do find someone to invest and make some changes. The biggest change I would make is the name and rebrand and just start over, because let's face it, it's been, 13 years? 14 years maybe even now, and the company is still stagnant at best. I mean, there's not a whole lot of change going on in terms of picking up new viewers, developing talent. I mean, the talent is there. It's just that they're not getting the opportunity to shine, I guess. And I wish nothing but the best for TNA and the men and women who are there working, because, you know, WWE will always be, at least in the foreseeable future, always be the big dog in the hunt. So it would be nice to see some strong alternatives. And I know Lucha Underground is out there. Unfortunately, I don't pick that up on my cable provider. But, you know, there are other options out there, and we need stronger options. And TNA, I certainly hope, can pull it out and get back on the right track. Finn Balor, apparently, and as you're listening to this, if you're listening on Monday when it drops, maybe on Raw later, telling fans at a show last week that I'll see y'all Monday. So that has led to lots of speculation, of course, now that other members of the Bullet Club, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows and AJ Styles, all on the main roster now. All kinds of speculation. So we'll see what happens if WWE goes the route of the Bullet Club reunion, if you will. But I'm curious, because I didn't know a whole lot about the Bullet Club I know the players and whatnot, so I'll be curious to and watching this as an eager fan, and try not to be overly critical of it because, again, I don't know a whole lot about that. If you are a local wrestling fan, and by local I mean Southern Illinois area, Pro Wrestling Stride is having another show on May 7th. It is the night before Mother's Day. And if I remember correctly, I think all moms get in free that night. So, again, that's happening May 7th at the Illinois Star Center Mall in Marion, Illinois. Yours truly, the ring announcer for that. I'm having a lot of fun getting back into the local wrestling game. I appreciate the invitation that has been extended to me by the company and the friendships that I have developed. And you'll hear more on the podcast from some of the men and women. I've had a couple on already. The champion Axe Allward has been on the show. And then the wrestling roundtable we did a couple of weeks at the Applebee's, a couple weeks ago at the Applebee's, with some of the men and women from Pro Wrestling Stride was a lot of fun. So there are your headlines, I guess, for this week in the world of professional wrestling. Take care, everyone. Have a great week. And thanks once again for being a part of my 1-2-3 Cents.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 Cents of the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Alrighty, fans, as promised, I am joined by the golden boy, Greg Anthony. He is the NWA National Heavyweight Champion. Part of NWA Mid-South. Lots of good things going on there in NWA Mid-South. Golden Boy, I was able to catch the show that you guys did, the Parade of Champions show in Dallas over WrestleMania weekend. Kind of kicked things off for me as we arrived in town Thursday evening. How are things going with NWA Mid-South?
Everything's rocking and rolling. We're one of the few NWAs that run weekly. You know, we were every Saturday night in Dyersburg, Tennessee, and we actually have several spot shows, too. So we hold more shows than probably the majority of independent companies.
Are you guys on TV down there in Dyersburg?
No. We're in kind of a weird conundrum when it comes to, wrestling on television nowadays. As you know, television is a lot of people are going to streaming, Netflix, Hulu, these WWE networks, things like that. So as to where television stations used to pay us to produce a show each week, now it's almost they want us to pay them and then sell advertising too. So it almost doesn't equate for us to actually have what they would call a television show.
And the other bad thing about, and I don't want to say bad, but the other challenge, I think, with putting an independent show on broadcast television these days, too, is the rules with the FCC. Everything has to be closed caption now, and that is a very expensive proposition. I've seen two wrestling companies in this area have to pull their shows because of that, because they just cannot fund the rules to maintain and stay up to date with things. So it's an unfortunate situation because, many, many years spent watching Saturday morning, Sunday morning wrestling with my parents.
Yeah, what I tell everybody is, my earliest memories of life are not of a birthday cake or, a new bike or anything like that. It's being on my grandmother's knee watching wrestling, and more specifically watching the NWA. And like you said, those days are they're going to kind of be behind it, but like I said, we're in a weird conundrum. What's the next step for professionalism?
So watching NWA growing up, is it surreal now to be not only wrestling for the NWA, but being one of its champions? How does that feel?
Yeah, it's kind of a pinch me moment sometimes. I sometimes get goosebumps when I talk about it because, you know, like the National Heavyweight Championship is something that that Dustin Rhodes, you know, held, that Tully Blanchard held, that Terry Taylor, that the Masked Superstar, you know, guys like that, guys that I really, really admire and patterned myself after in a lot of ways. And here I am in the history books next to their names, and it's surreal a lot of time.
It's awesome, and we were talking about the show in Dallas, but I know that a lot of the shows you guys try to bring in, not only are you nurturing and developing new talent, but you bring back some of the legends from the past. You know, in Dallas, for example, we saw Black Bart. We saw Jim Cornette was there, of course, and some of the world-class Mark Lawrence, who was an announcer with the company. So is it important to kind of keep that legacy going with the past and passing the torch, so to speak, to the future of professional wrestling?
It's always been important to me, you know, because, I mean, I'm a big nostalgia kind of guy, you know, so to be able to be around some of these guys, to me, can only do good, you know, and guys like Jim Cornette, like you talked about, he's an absolute genius when it comes to this business, you know, to spend time with him and hear his thought process on things is invaluable to any professional wrestler. Also at the show, I don't know if actually see he would have been part of the actual show before, but Bobby Fulton from the Fantastics was there too.
Yeah, I did see him.
He was there, and I mean he's another guy that's so talented when it comes to the thought process in this business. You know, and actually in the interview itself, we have a thing called the Hall of Champions, and you know what we do. It's our Hall of Fame, basically. But, I mean, we have a little bit different criteria for it. It's not necessarily that you were a famous professional wrestler, but to me, it's someone that drew money, that was a great wrestler, but also they helped the business. They actively are out there trying to make younger wrestlers better, and they're actually, you know, good people.
Yeah.
You know, I put into the Hall of Champions with beautiful body. So, I mean, that's kind of our benchmark for the Hall of Champions.
Yeah, I met Bobby last year and I actually did a podcast with him. He's a great guy and wish him nothing but the best. I know that he's had some health issues in the past, but really a great guy. And I know you guys teamed up for a while there too, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, we were tag team for 2 years. And, you know, me being Golden Boy Greg Anthony and him with the Midnight Express, obviously, we were the Midnight Bulls. And I really credit that segment of my life to really kickstarting a lot of things I've done since then. You know, because a lot of people started seeing my name that never heard my name before. So, and they were like, well, who's this guy? And once people started realizing who I was and what I could do, that's when a lot of doors started opening up for me.
What is it about NWA Mid-South specifically that you enjoy doing? And are you exclusively with NWA, or are you able to bounce around and do other wrestling? I know you guys have weekly shows, so I would imagine that's kind of tough.
Yeah,
but
majority of the time I'm going to be with NWA Mid-South, but I do other NWA sometimes, obviously. I can do other promotions. It's just, being the national heavyweight champion, you have to be able to control your bookings, and you know I do that. So it's one of those things that, you know, if benefits, I'm an NWA guy, so to me, if it benefits the NWA in some way, then I'll do it.
Do you ever aspire, you know, we see WWE is constantly with NXT, they're recruiting and bringing in talent from around the world, but, you know, a lot of it is the United States indie scene as well, and they're doing this upcoming tournament. Do you ever aspire or have the goal of performing one day for WWE, or are you content with NWA?
I mean, the WWE would be an amazing opportunity for anybody. I mean, I don't really agree with a lot of their practices sometimes. You know, I think that they don't everyone as a star. I think they booked them as, you know, just a piece of a cog in the machine, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's something that's kind of disappointing to me because, I mean, I think we all have the dream of being on top in this business, and, you know, being a star and stuff like that. And when you look at the stuff that, you know, Kevin, that you and I grew up on, like the Jet Snakes and things like that, that era, everyone was booked as a star. You know, I knew that Hulk Hogan was the champion, but to me, Coco Beware was also the star. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's how they presented it to us, that if you were part of this company, then you were a wrestling superstar. And I think that they've gotten away from that for whatever reason. But when you see a guy like Zack Ryder, for instance, who, you know, one time I would believe was one of the hottest guys in the company, and they were actually chanting his name, and he wasn't even out there, and they just ignored it. You know, to me, that's not from a wrestling standpoint, but from a fan standpoint, I think it's really disheartening.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what is stopping them from, say, if they did find myself or they did find some of the top 5 men, right? And we get there and we have that kind of reaction. We do our job and we get over. And who's to say they'll just turn a blind eye to it? You know, and it's like, what are you working for?
Makes sense. Yeah, you have to. There's definitely a balance there, I think, as far as, you know, reaching the ultimate goal, if you will, versus sacrificing your self-respect and you know, everything else just for the sake of being on that main stage. You also recently traveled to, well, actually, before we get into Cauliflower Alley, how can people find out more about NWA Mid-South? And I know some people are probably listening saying, where in the heck is Dyersburg, Tennessee? Which it's not, how close are you to Memphis and Nashville?
We are 70 miles north of Memphis.
Okay.
We're actually, if you're coming from, you know, Southern Illinois, see, when you come into Tennessee, the tires were good. And we're about, I think we're like 3 hours away from Nashville, 3 hours west of Nashville.
Okay.
So we're kind of in between both, not too far, not too close. As far as Interview in the South, you can on Facebook or Interview in the South, obviously. On Twitter, at NWA_MidSouth on Twitter. And our website is NWAMidSouth.com. So, I mean, those are really the best ways to keep up with it. And we're very social media conscious. You know, we're constantly posting stuff, you know, several times a day about our main events or our sponsors or things like that. So, I mean, if they can check us out, please like us. You know, the more likes I get, the more easier it is to sell sponsorships and things like that.
Sure. And like you said, every Saturday night fans can come out. Are you guys in the same location in Dyersburg every week?
Yeah, we're at 1827 St. John in Dyersburg, Tennessee, and it's actually the Herb Well Brooklyn Flex.
Cool. Very cool. So, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about some of the legends that have come into NWA Mid-South, and you recently, and you've been to Cauliflower Alley Club more than a couple of times, haven't you?
Yeah, this was actually my fifth year.
Do you go every year?
Yeah, I've been every year since 2012.
So what is the appeal of that for you? And is it something that fans, you know, because obviously you're in the business, you are a wrestler, but is this something that fans can or would be interested in attending?
Yeah, they encourage fans. It's kind of a, you know, it's 3 days long. It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Culminates Wednesday night with the big banquet where we induct, you know, they induct several people into kind of a Hall of Champion, Hall of Fame type thing. But yeah, it's, you know, it's a celebration. You know, for me, it's been one of the best things I've done because, you know, when you grow up a wrestling fan, and you can relate to this. When you grow up with something, you kind of feel like a little bit of an outsider. Because not everyone likes
right.
Wrestling. So you find a couple of friends that you all like wrestling, you kind of chum around about that. Well, in wrestling, for me, you know, then you're the crazy guy that's not enough for you to be a fan, so you try to get into professional wrestling. But then you get into professional wrestling, and you notice, well, here's all the crazy guys that are like me growing up, and here they are. But then you get into professional wrestling, you realize, well, guys are doing it and they're treating it more as a hobby than a career. Some guys are just doing it because, you know, they want to be able to go back stacking boxes on Monday and be able to tell someone they're a professional wrestler, things like that. But then when you go to Cauliflower Alley, you know, that is really almost the cream of the crop that goes top by. These are the guys that care so much about the business that they're going to give their time and their money and everything to make sure that it survives at a high level. You know, the Cauliflower Alley Club is there as a benevolent fund to help, you know, older wrestlers if they have medical issues, if they have, you know, if they're having trouble keeping their homes, you know, things like that. I mean, it's there to help professional wrestling. You know, when you see the generations and generations of talent that are there, I mean, it's mind-boggling.
So then, when you attend this, are you there as Golden Boy Greg Anthony, or are you there as Greg Anthony wrestling fan?
I mean, I'm there as you know, Greg Anthony representative of the NWA, but I mean, at the same time, you know, I'm just as much a fan as anyone else. I mean, like, this past, you know, a couple years ago, where it passed away, Bob Geigel was there. I mean, how instrumental was Bob Geigel in professional wrestling for years?
Sure.
You know, so, you know, I at that moment, I was a fan, you know what I mean? I mean, mm-hmm. There's a lot of guys like, you know, this year they inducted Lance Russell. You know, Lance Russell, even though I'm from the Memphis area, I've never met Lance Russell before, because he lives in Florida now. But okay. I got to meet him. You know, it's kind of that weird combination, you know, it's like, you make contacts, you meet a lot of guys from all over the country, kind of, you know, compare notes, so to speak. But then there's moments where you can meet some of your childhood heroes, and hopefully they don't disappoint you.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question is, like, are they, you know, I see that you post pictures a lot with the different legends there. Are they more open to taking photos with someone like you who is in the business, or, you know, would everyday fan like myself be able to have those same opportunities at this event?
It's kind of like I said, it's very, even though it's, you know, 1,000 people at this thing, it's very informal in that sense. You know, they're there for the fans and there for the, for the experience of being appreciated for what they did in the business. You know, it's just sometimes guys are off. Like, you know, Trish Stratus, for instance, was, you know, she was inducted this year, and it would have been impossible to get a picture with her. There was too many people around her to go up there and try to. Arn Anderson was there too, which I haven't had. I've never met Arn. He's actually one of my favorites of all time. But once again, he was covered up with people. So I mean, I would love to sit down and be able to pick his brain for 30 minutes. And sometimes you get those kind of opportunities. You know, I mean, you know, JBL inducted James Beard. You know, they've been friends for 30 years. So JBL came in and inducted James Beard, who is the senior official and Vice President of Talent Relations, or whatever you want to say, for the NWA. And, you know, we got to spend some time with that. I got to sit with JBL, Jerry Briscoe, and Jim Ross, and hear them shoot the bull for about 30, 40 minutes.
Wow.
You know, so, I mean, that was, you know, that was interesting, to say the least.
So then WWE, I mean, I've never heard them actively promote it, but they don't discourage their talent from being a part of this either, then, it sounds like.
They actually very much encourage it. Actually, Mark Carano and I forget, you know, the guy that managed Kali. You know,
I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name either.
They were there. You know,
okay.
The Rock's mom was there every year. Pat Patterson was there. You know, I mean, they spend the table every year.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're very active. They love the CAC, and they're very active in promoting it as best they can.
So you've been for five times. You've gone. What has been the most, if you can pick one, what's been one of the more memorable conversations or experiences, stars that you've, or wrestlers that you've gotten to meet?
you know, Jerry Briscoe was one because he has a very, in-depth insight into the WWE. You know, that was fun to be able to hang out with him. Really, it's just, you know, there's a wrestling show every year, too. They do Sunday night and Monday night. You know, the trouble in most guys work in terms of matches. I've had single matches and tag matches every year I've been.
Oh, cool.
And then, you know, here, somebody comes up to me and like, man, that was an amazing match. Really, you know, maybe they've heard of me, maybe they hadn't, but just the fact that they're, you know, sometimes they're in the business and they recognize the talent I had, or they come up to me very humbling to me, you know.
That's really cool. So, who have been some of your? Because I know we talked earlier. You've wrestled Diamond Dallas Page before, is that right?
We did a segment.
Okay.
With Diamond Dallas Page, in which I got Diamond Cutter off the top rope.
That's got to be a surreal experience, too, huh?
Yeah, things like that. I mean, when I say stuff like I got Diamond Cutter by DDT, I've struggled with Jack Fargo. You know, I've been piled over by the King on Memphis television. You know, it's just, you know, some of that stuff is. Did it really happen? I mean, am I sure? Is this really my life right now? But I mean, it's just been like the one surreal moment after another.
Let me ask you this, because you mentioned, you know, being pile driven by Jerry Lawler, diamond cuttered by Diamond Dallas Page. Obviously, two legends in the business who are, you know, not actively still in the ring, at least on a consistent basis. At WrestleMania, we saw a similar situation where, and you were at WrestleMania as well, so that's why I'm going to ask you this. You know, when the League of Nations won the match against the New Day, and then out came legend Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, and Mick Foley, there was some criticism of the retired guys coming out there and, you know, going one over on the new and or the, at least the active current talent. Did you ever view that, you know, in your situations when you were, you know, in there with Lawler or in there with Diamond Dallas Page? Did you view that as a negative thing, or did it work out into the positive for you?
I mean, no, not in those situations. The thing with Lawler happened, you know, years and years ago. So, I mean, there has to be a older talent has to make new talent. It's just it's the only way the business survives. In the situation with WrestleMania, you know, you look at Stone Cold Steve Austin, HBK, and Mick Foley, you know, and you look at 101,000 people out of ring. They helped build the company to that point, to help draw 101,000 people. If it wasn't for their runs, that may have never happened. So to me, it was a thank you from them to be, hey, we want them on this card. And especially being in Texas for HBK and Austin, there was another reason too there. So to me, it was just a thank you, and you deserve this, and we wouldn't be here without you kind of thing.
Makes sense. And so obviously WWE is the giant, in professional wrestling. TNA has, rumors are out there now that TNA is struggling financially. What do you think can be done to save wrestling in general, not just TNA specifically, but to provide fans with a viable, strong options to just WWE? Because I know Ring of Honor is out there. They're on TV. A lot of people had a lot of hopes and expectations from TNA, but they seem to, for the last almost decade and a half, kind of remained rather stagnant and not really broken out of that shell, so to speak. So what do you think needs to be done to put something else out there on the map and get recognized by the public?
First thing you have to do is you have to strip everything down into one basic plan. It's good versus evil. It's bad guy versus good guy. And I think that's what a lot of people are missing. And they'll say, well, we do that. And the truth is they don't, because bad guys are now doing every cool move in the book. They're too cool for school. They have no unredeemable quality. So how hard is it to be a best player? in professional wrestling if you don't have someone for people to hate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think a guy like Roman Reigns, everyone's like, well, everyone hates Roman Reigns, we should just give up on him. It's not his fault. You know, if he had if his heels were actual heels, then he would be the babyface and he would be the top guy. But when you have someone go out there and do, you know, perfect splashes and all these cool moves and stuff like that, and it just becomes about this, anything you can do, I can do better, and, you know, the people will have a choice. They're gonna like whatever.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope, to say the very least. What,
Well, when, you know, as a your job as a heel is to be hated. There's nothing in between, you know, and that's what people have to, especially the wrestlers, have to realize. You know, like, well, wrestling's changed, no one will watch that. Listen, I've done, you know, I went out there and put a chin lock in somebody, you know, 5 minutes. And have the people, you know, where I need to be. You know, meanwhile, guys are killing themselves. I wrote an article a couple years ago, and it was basically talking about how guys are scared of the silence. You know, they don't want to do holes, and they don't want to do this because they're afraid of the hush of the crowd. You know, but what they're doing is they're doing move after move after move after move, and they're sympathizing the audience. And guess what? They're being quiet anyway. And now they're killing themselves while they're quiet. So it's like, you have to learn to love the fight. So you need the ballad where just as much as you need not hop.
Yeah, and I guess we'll kind of start winding things down, but you said these guys are killing themselves, and, you know, you as professional wrestlers, I have the utmost respect for what you guys do. Week in and week out, not only for the training involved, but the actual in-ring physical work that you do, the travel. I know the pay isn't always great. So what possesses someone, what possessed you, other than to chase a childhood dream, you know, what makes you want to do this week in and week out and you know, get busted open and get, you know, broken bones and strains and sprains and all that kind of stuff? What brings you back for more every week?
It's just a fundamental love of professional wrestling. Professional wrestling is everything I've ever loved in my life and rolled into one. I've loved sports and athletics. I grew up, you know, playing basketball, things like that, the locker room atmosphere. Also business. I loved business aspects. You know, the dollars and cents. The why won't they come? Why will they come? How many people can we get in the door? I mean, it's just the theatrics of it. I mean, you know, movies, man. I have over 800 movies in my collection and television shows and things like that. So, I mean, telling stories, telling a story arc is something I've always loved. So, I mean, it's really the culmination of everything I've ever loved in my life. You know, you have to have a love for this business. As people ask me all the time about, I like to wrestle and try, so if you don't love it, you're not going to do it. Because the first time you take a bump, or the first time you get, like you said, busted open the hard way, or, you know, catch an elbow in the eye, and you're done, you know?
Yeah, very well said, Golden Boy. And is there any other, I know you plugged the NWA Mid-South stuff. Do you want to give out your Twitter? I know that you're pretty active on the social media as well.
Yeah, on Facebook, I'm the Golden Boy Greg Anthony. And then on Twitter, it's at NWA Golden Boy. And like you said, I'm pretty active on Twitter. You know, I try to, I talk about wrestling mostly, obviously, but I mean, I try to light things up. I talk about movies and my kids and things like that, too, so.
Yeah, lots of good stuff there. And again, every Saturday night, you can catch NWA Mid-South in Dyersburg, Tennessee. We'll have the link here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network to where you can go learn more about this great promotion and the fine folks that are putting their bodies on the line week in and week out. Golden Boy, as always, a pleasure to talk to you. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.